Hey everyone, we're back again, this time for lesson number 4 of our pod class series on the book of Proverbs. We're going to jump right in. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another opportunity to read your word. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear and receive that which you want us to hear and receive, God. And we just give you all the praise, give you all the glory. Thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so number 4, lesson 4 rather. Just a quick review. The word Proverbs means what? Okay, we talked about this, I think, two, three lessons ago. It's a before action, Proverbs, Proverbs, or the first part, pro, P-R-O, meaning before. And then verb, V-E-R-B, which we know is an action word. So Proverbs is a before action. It's understanding what we need to do before it happens. It's proactive living rather than reactive living. That's what the Proverbs teaches. It teaches us proactive living rather than reactive living, which we have learned is wisdom. Wisdom is the art and act of living. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Okay, so we basically learned so far that if we don't act on what we know, we are not using wisdom. One of the books that I was reading basically said it is stupid to know something and not act on it. So if I know right from wrong and I choose wrong, I'm stupid and I am not wise. Very plainly, very basic, you know, that's what it is. Okay. The application of wisdom will lead us into wholeness. Okay? All right. So, when we first looked at the book of Proverbs back in 2018, Pastor taught the first lesson. And in that lesson, he gave us 8 areas to which wisdom needs to be applied. And we're going to start talking about those tonight. Today. the first one we're going to discuss is fear. Fear, F-E-A-R, okay? Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So the fear of the Lord. So in this case, when we talk about fear, what do we mean? Right, we mean respect. We mean reverence. We mean awe. Let's look at the definition. Some of the definitions, right? So reverence. Reverence is to treat with deep respect, high regard, high esteem, admiration. Awe, A-W-E, a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. Hebrews 12:28-29 says, "Therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let's show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." So, true wisdom. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So true wisdom begins with the knowledge of who God is. Understanding that God is holy, righteous, and just. Understanding that God loves us and nothing can separate us from that love. But also that God hates sin and opposes the wicked. And because of this, he must punish sin. So what does this mean? What does this matter? I want to go to Genesis 22, verse 12, a good example of this, right? It starts by saying, "He said, do not reach out your hand against the boy and do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So what's happening here? Abraham had obeyed or submitted to the word of the Lord because he feared him. And God stopped him from killing his son and provided a sacrifice. Remember this story. You know, Abraham and Sarah could not have children. Sarah was barren. God gave them a child when they were real, real, real old. And as that child got, when that child started getting older, God asked him to sacrifice that child that he couldn't have, that he had as an old man. And God was like, yeah, you're going to sacrifice him. And Abraham obeyed God. He trusted God and he followed what God asked him to do. And once God saw that he was willing to be obedient, even when it meant sacrificing the one thing that he wanted over anything, God stopped him and provided a sacrifice, right? And this verse says, in this verse, God says to him, "For now I know that you fear God," right? So again, because he feared God, God stopped him. God provided the sacrifice. Okay. So, question: do we fear God to the point of sacrifice? Do we fear God to the point of sacrificing what we care about the most? Think about that. Think about it. Write it down. Think about it during the week. Take a minute. Just, you know, are we willing to do that? Are we willing out of our fear of God to obey God, to sacrifice the Isaac in our life? This example shows us that one's fear of God is seen in what they do. Because I understand who God is and I adore him, revere him, respect him. But I also understand what can happen if I'm disobedient. All of that should motivate me to do right, to live right, etc. Okay? There is a relationship between fearing God and proper living. Leviticus 19:14 says, "You shall not curse a person who is deaf, nor put a stumbling block before a person who is blind. You shall revere your God. I am the Lord." And Leviticus 25:17 says, "So you shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God." In these two examples, the fear of the Lord dictates how we deal with one another. Let's see, Genesis, and got some more examples. Genesis 42:18 says, "Now Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God." Joseph is talking to his brothers. His brothers have come over to Egypt because there was famine, and Jacob sent them to Egypt to get food to take back to the family. They don't know that they're going to now face the brother that they sold into slavery, right? And so Joseph is accusing them of being spies and, you know, all of these things. And, you know, they were explaining to him their situation, their home life situation. And Joseph was telling them to go back, to go get their other brother. And they were kind of afraid. And he was basically saying to them, no, do this, for I fear God, right? So Joseph wins that trust of his brothers when he declares that he is a God-fearing man. Exodus 1:17 says, "But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but they let the boys live." Remember, back in those days, the Egyptians, they took that being fruitful and multiplying thing a little bit too seriously. And Pharaoh was like, yeah, nah, we got to get some of them Hebrews up out of here, because, you know, they're going to take over us and make us slaves, you know, or overtake us. So we got to kill them at the beginning. So, I need all the Hebrew baby boys, order all the midwives to kill all the baby boys, so we can stop the rise in population. Okay. But the midwives, it was they decided, because they feared God, that they weren't going to do that. It was because the midwives feared God that they obeyed him instead of the authorities, and they spared the Hebrew babies. And then Exodus chapter 9, verses 29 to 30 says, Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease. There will no longer be hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Okay? Pharaoh brought disaster to the nation because he did not fear God. So the fact that I love, respect, admire, hold in high regard God, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best to live right, act right, and all of those other things. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. Let's see. So, if Barack and Michelle Obama were coming to your house for dinner, would you order Domino's and serve it on paper plates? No. You would clean your house. You would break out the good dishes, make or cater depending on how your money looks, all your food and everything, all because of your respect for them. You would want them to have the best experience that, you know, you are able to provide, right? This is how the fear of God works. It's about how we view God. Because I view you, God, as awesome, mighty, loving, and I stand in awe of how amazing you are, I'm going to make it my business to live for you. Let's look at it this way. We say all the time that God is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, right? And what is he worthy of? He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the honor. He's worthy of the glory. But is God worthy of our obedience? I heard a sermon about this, about worship rather, some years ago, and they were talking about how it really should be considered worth-ship, W-O-R-T-H-ship, because how you worship, the way, the consistency, etc., is all based on how you value God. Do you consider him worth it? So, if the greatest form of worship is obedience, then is God worth our obedience? Why not? Thoughts. I'm going to stop here, but that's what I want you guys to keep in mind for the next week. Is God worth our obedience? Dear Lord, I thank you for this time once again. You're awesome. You're mighty. God, allow us to think about this and analyze our lives to see if how we behave, how we live, how we walk, how we talk, how we interact with others is a reflection of our fear of you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Give us what we stand in need of. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.